The gospel reading today is our Lord asked the question of who the apostles say that he is, regardless of what popular opinion might be, who do they say that he is? And Simon Peter is able to answer and say, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus says that he is blessed because this has not been revealed by flesh and blood, but by his heavenly Father. Now that becomes important for us because while it obviously was the first time that Peter was able to recognize that none of the apostles, and so it's a revelation in the sense that it hadn't been known to them previously, we also have to recognize the same exact grace is at work in you and me when we can say, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." That is by God's grace. That is not just something you were taught in your catechism. If it's just something you're taught in the catechism, yeah, you can repeat the answer, but not mean it. St. Paul, remember, says, "No one can say that Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit." There were some college kids that challenged a priest about that. Said, "Anyone can say that." He said, "Okay, go ahead and say it." There was silence. They couldn't say it. While one might be able to parrot back some words, not knowing what it means, to say something as simple as Jesus is Lord is not so simple because it is packed with meaning. And you cannot say that without the grace of God to be able to say that, to actually believe that. So now to be able to say, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." You're not going to be able to say that without the grace of God at work. So praise the Lord for that gift, because that's what it is. Again, you have to ask yourself, why is it that the vast majority of people in the world don't believe? And then why do you? And even now, as we're watching as more and more and more Catholics walk away from the church, why do you believe? Why aren't you walking away? Only by the grace of God. It's not because any one of us can look at it and say, "Well, because I am so strong, it doesn't matter how what comes against me, I'll be able to do this by myself." No, we can't. And we know that. Any more than Peter could. Remember what happened immediately after this particular passage in the gospel. "Oh no, this cannot happen to you." Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan." And then we know that Peter went on to deny him three times. And even after the resurrection and all the graces that were there, Peter goes to Galatia, gets caught up in all the nonsense, and is like, "Oh yeah, these guys aren't circumcised. I better eat with the people that are." St. Paul has to go after him and say, "Wait, what are you doing?" So someone as great as St. Peter can do these things after having this extraordinary grace. Don't think for a minute that you and I couldn't do the same, because we know we can. We can deny the Lord in an instant. We can get caught up in all the pretense. We can get caught up in all the politics and the nonsense and everything else. It'd be nice if we would be able to say, "No, that couldn't happen to me." But that's just not true. So what we have to be able to do is to keep our focus where it belongs, to keep the focus on the Lord. Again, as we've talked about many times, it's one thing to be able to acknowledge an objective truth. It's another to make it subjective. And so the question that we each one have to ask is not at this point the question of who do you say that Jesus is, because I'm assuming, especially since you're here and you're willing to stay and listen to my hot air, obviously, either you're very, very penitential, or you really believe. So therefore, you can honestly say with St. Peter, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Praise the Lord, you can say that. So now let me ask you the second question. Do you love Jesus, who is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Not do you believe him or in him. Not do you know that this is the truth, because that's all in your head. And it's necessary. You can't get to the heart unless it goes through the head. So we have to have that truth first. But we cannot love what we do not know. So if we know that Jesus is Lord, that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, now it needs to get to the second point. Now we know the truth. Do we love the truth? Do we love the person who is the truth? That is how we are going to stay faithful. Because if it's just a matter of knowing what the truth is in our heads, when push comes to shove, we're going to look at things and go, well, maybe it's more, better idea to do it this way, or maybe it's more advantageous if I just kind of compromise a little bit and do it that way. Now look at your spouse and look at your kids and ask yourself how that would go over. Well, I mean, it's kind of my wife, but not really. I don't care about my kids. Just don't hurt me, but go ahead and hurt my kids. It's okay. You really think that's going to sit well? No, you wouldn't do that because you love them. And because you love them, you're not going to sit back and say, oh, go ahead and hurt my spouse. Go ahead and hurt my kids. I'll deny that I'm married to this person. I'm not the mother or father of these people. You're not going to do that because you love them too much. Jesus tells us that we're to love him more than our spouses and our children. And so that's what we have to really look at. We know the truth just as St. Peter did. But now we need to love him, to get it into the heart, to truly love him, so that we're not going to be ashamed of him, so we're not going to be embarrassed of him, so we're not going to deny him. Again, put it into your own circumstances. Your spouse or your kids might do something that's really stupid or really embarrassing. Are you going to stand with them? Or are you going to look at and go, if you want to do something embarrassing, don't count me in. I'm out of here. I won't acknowledge that I know you. No, you're not embarrassed of your spouse. You're not embarrassed of your children, even if they're doing stupid or embarrassing things. Yeah, you can acknowledge it, but you're not going to deny who they are or your relationship with them. The wonderful thing is Jesus doesn't do anything embarrassing. He doesn't do anything stupid. We do. I mean, if anyone should be embarrassed of anyone, it's him to be embarrassed of us. We've given him every reason in the world to tell us to get lost. And he hasn't done so. And then to think that we would actually be embarrassed of him or deny him or act like we don't know him because he's not politically correct. We deserve a good swift kick in the seat of the pants, and we know that. And yet, in his mercy and his love for us, he doesn't deny us. So now we have to look at it and say, do I love him so much that I will never deny him? Again, only by the grace of God would we be able to say we could never deny him, because by ourselves we might. But the only thing that's going to guarantee that we will not, along with the grace of God, is that we love him. Not just that we know who he is, that we love him. So that's what we want to strive for. Recognize the gift that God has already given you, an immense grace. And you're seeing, as I mentioned earlier, just how immense it is as people are continuing to walk away. The grace that God has given you to remain faithful is tremendous. Now beg Him for the next grace, to get it from the head and into the heart, so that you truly love Jesus. That's the only way. That's what we're supposed to do anyway. I mean, isn't that the new commandment Jesus gave us? So this isn't anything that's new or whatever, but it's just something that is so deep and profound that we tend to steer away from it, when in fact this is what is going to set us free. So don't steer away. Walk into it. Open the heart, let Him in, and enter into His heart, and love Him. Truly, truly love Him as He loves us. That's what He's asking for. That's what's going to fulfill us. That's what's going to bring us joy, that our joy can be complete. What a gift. So God has already given you, we know, the first gift. Ask Him for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, so that second gift will be given, the gift to love God with our whole heart and soul and strength.